Hi, welcome back to the Rock Your Relationships podcast. We're glad that you have joined us again for our fifth installment of our core teachings. And if you'll remember from before, we talked about the emotional cup. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, you really ought to go back and listen to it and download the graphic so that you can follow along. And we've started talking about the emotions that are in our emotional cups. And so we talked about hurt, and we talked about what God has given us to deal with hurt, and it's comfort. And so our previous podcast, the most recent one, was all about comforting one another and receiving comfort ourselves. But there's something really special that we didn't share, and it's receiving comfort directly from God.
I mean, this is one of the most exciting things in the Christian life, is that we don't serve a God who is distant and remote, unable to relate to us, but we serve a God who is personal. We can know Him. He wants to know us.
Yes, He was incarnated. He made Himself a person.
Right. He's experienced the full range of human life. And so because of that, our ability to relate to God, especially in the person of Jesus,
you know, right.
God is three in one, three persons in one, which is mind-blowing mystery. but this is an amazing thing that God, because God is a person, you know, He made us to comfort one another, to receive this healing from hurt from one another, and He is able to be one of those people in our lives.
Right. I think it's a common misconception among people who haven't really had much exposure to what Christianity really teaches to think of Jesus as like an accidental figure who maybe was just born at the right place at the right time, and He grew up and He was very wise and He was just the man that was needed in that time kind of thing. But they don't realize that that is not at all what our faith teaches. It teaches that God had planned since the creation of the world to come live among us, to have blood flow through His veins, to be born of a woman's womb so that He could feel and know and be among us and be 100% man and still 100% God. And so when you think about that and just the wonder of it, I mean, not even talk about the resurrection and the crucifixion, but just the incarnation, just the fact that God became man, and you think that that God wants a relationship with you, right? Then it's not so wild to think that you can go to God for comfort.
Absolutely. So a fantastic scripture to highlight what we're talking about comes from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not a high priest, Jesus is the high priest in this case, who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
There you go. Thanks be to God.
So jumping right into this, we talked about receiving comfort from others, and that is a wonderful and beautiful thing. And we should always reach out. This isn't something to say, well, you know, God is a better comforter than any other person we're going to run into. Mm-hmm. So why not just go to God every time?
Right.
God wants us to reach out to one another. And, and really, when we receive comfort from another person, in many ways, that's God comforting us through that other person. Mm-hmm. But there are times when you need that direct contact with God to receive comfort. Maybe no one else is available in that time, or maybe you're just hurting so badly.
And if you're having trouble forgiving, that's a good...
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, that's when we were taught about this, that was one of the chief reasons, is if you're having so much trouble forgiving that you can't share with someone without sinning, like gossip or slander, because you're just so angry, this is a really great solution.
Right. So let's just walk through this, kind of a formula for experiencing comfort from God. Not that this is the only way to do it, but sometimes it helps if you haven't experienced something before to have a formula to work through.
Mm-hmm. And so the first step is just to identify the hurt. Remember, if you're experiencing anger, you're going to have to get back down to the hurt. So identify what the hurt really is, what happened, and how do you really feel?
So once you've identified what the hurt is, simply express your hurt to God in prayer. Tell God about your pain. Dear God, I think I feel sad about doing poorly at work, missing out on that assignment. Or it really hurt when my friend didn't notice that I was sad about something. She just overlooked it. Or I felt disappointed that I didn't get that promotion, whatever mm-hmm. it is.
Right, exactly. So after you pour your heart out to Jesus, and you're talking to Jesus, you're talking to your brother and your Lord Christ, ask these questions of him and then wait for his response. That's very important. So you're going to ask questions like, Lord, do you understand my pain? Do you understand why I'm feeling this way? Do you see my perspective? Do you understand my feeling of loneliness or abandonment or rejection, whatever? And then you're going to ask, Lord, when did you experience something like this? Okay? And then lay it out there and wait. This is not the time for you to go in your mind through all the scripture verses you know and try to figure out when Jesus experienced it. This is a time that you are having a relational conversation. And so ask him, when did you experience this, what I'm experiencing now?
You know, I want to pause on this point for just a second, because I think this is something that a lot of us are not very good at. I think I'm not necessarily very good at this, and that's listening to God, mm-hmm. quieting your mind so that you can hear the Lord. And this can be different for different people. I know some people can, doing something like praying a chaplet or praying a rosary can actually help them quiet their mind, even mm-hmm. though they're doing something active. It opens them to be able to hear from the Lord. Certainly something like going to adoration can mm-hmm. be helpful, getting to a quiet place. For some people, being outdoors can kind of help you settle down and quiet your mind. But really, this is a discipline that mm-hmm. we have to practice. If we're not in the practice of hearing God, if we're so used to crowding our mind and our heart with noise, mm-hmm. It can be difficult to hear God's voice speaking through that. So be patient with yourself if this is not something that you're good at, something that you're not accustomed to hearing from God. And one last point on this, one way that I hear from God best is through the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And so while I totally agree with what you're saying, it's not the time to sort of try to come up with the answer yourself. You really need to quiet your mind. For me, when I've experienced comfort from God, a lot of times there is a scripture or a Bible story or something that pops in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it wasn't that I was like, you know, flipping through my Bible verse Rolodex in my head or something like that to get to it. It's just, there it is. And a couple times I didn't even know how that story could possibly relate to what I was saying. Mm-hmm. And then I go look it up and I see something in the scripture I had never seen before. And it relates directly to my issue.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I love what you said. It was such a great reminder that we're supposed to be listening to Christ. So why not go to Adoration Chapel, right? And we can do this while you're praying the rosary even. I mean, there's so many ways to listen and quiet your mind. And so also you're going to ask him, this is still part of step three, asking Jesus, is what do you feel for me about this? So you're inviting Christ to comfort you. Yeah. And you also are going to be able to enter comfort with Christ, comforting Christ as well, which if that sounds completely bizarre, I just invite you to read Consoling the Heart of Jesus by Michael Gately. It completely changed my life and how I view prayer with Christ. Okay, so step one is identifying your hurt. Step two is expressing it to Jesus. And step three is going to be asking him questions and waiting for his response. The questions are, do you understand my pain? When did you experience something like this? And what do you feel for me about this? Okay, so then you wait. And that's kind of when the magic happens. And one of two things are going to happen is that the Lord is going to comfort you in that moment. Like Chuck was talking about, a scripture verse might pop into your head, or just even a memory of when, you know, something like that, you heard a Bible story or something, or you just know Jesus can just share with you something from his heart. Or if you feel like nothing's happening, I guarantee you have laid it out before Jesus and he will comfort you. And it might be through another person later, or it might be that he reveals something to you as you're going about your day, the next day or the next week. Both of these responses have happened to me when I have prayed this prayer. I've had the immediate, kind of almost miraculous, amazing response, like Chuck was talking about, where something popped into my head and just met my need completely right then. And I've had the response where I listen for a while, and then I just feel like I'm done, and I get up and I go about my day, and then something happens, and it's just bam, out of the blue, and I see what Jesus was trying to show me, and it comforts me.
This is it's really an act of faith. When we seek the Lord, there are times when He does reach out to us directly, and it's so clear and it's so obvious. But then there are other times when that answer, like Betsy was saying, is not immediate, and we have to have faith. We have to have confidence that God does hear us, that He knows what's best. He knows the perfect timing to meet these needs. And so having that trust is another kind of discipline, building that up and knowing that he is there for us. It might help in those moments to remind yourself of times earlier, times previously where He has met your needs mm-hmm. and come through for you. If you're struggling to say, it just feels like, you know, I'm not hearing anything here. It just feels like God must not be listening to me.
Right. Well, step four is thanking Jesus for His compassion and comfort. And even if you don't feel it at the time, thank Him. You know that He hears you. And then step five is going to be to choose to forgive. And that's always the end result of being comforted, is that it's easier. So choose to forgive the offense, even if right then you can't necessarily feel it. Remember that forgiveness is a path. It's not necessarily a place. So it's not like you're going to go from unforgiveness to forgiveness, like you're moving from room to room. It's you're walking a path of bitterness, and you're going to instead get on a path of forgiveness. So you're going to be walking basically God's path. So don't feel like you have to already just love the person who hurt you and be excited or anything. But just know that you've decided to walk towards Christ in this thing, and you're trusting that He's going to walk with you and help you to forgive along the way.
So those are the five steps. And one more thing I want to add before we give an example here to close out this podcast is that this can be a process, right? So we shouldn't mm-hmm. think of it like, I need comfort, and so I go to God and receive comfort, and then either something happened or something didn't, and then you're supposed to move on. And it really depends on the nature of the hurt. I mean, some hurts are so deep that you're going to come back to God multiple times. You go, mm-hmm. you receive comfort. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean,
every day.
You may receive comfort, and then you choose to forgive, and then you have the next week or the next day or 2 hours later, you go back and you do the same thing again if you need to, and you go receive more comfort from God, and maybe that opens you up to a little bit more forgiveness, mm-hmm. and then you go back and you receive, and you just continue to bring this before the Lord, the hurt, until He heals it. Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing and beautiful process, because God is in a relationship with us, and He wants a relationship with us. And this also should open us up to have better relationships with one another, because I know in our marriage, there have been times when I felt hurt by Betsy, and I go receive comfort from God, and then I'm able to go back to Betsy, and our relationship improves because I've forgiven her. Maybe I see her perspective in a way I didn't before, and it really opens us up to love one another better as a part of this process.
Okay, so I'm going to share a little sample with you of when this has happened to me, when I've experienced comfort from God. And so we've been doing this for a while and have had some really special experiences. But one in particular was that I had a friend who I was having to tell the truth in love to. And she was really in some habits that were bad for her, and I was really worried about her. And so I kind of confronted her, but it was really loving. And I just told her that I was worried that the path she was on was going to, you know, end in destruction, basically. She was really messing with some bad stuff. So I told her that, but it was really totally with good intentions. And she got very defensive and was accusing me of just trying to manipulate her. And she was actually accusing me of hating her, of like not caring about her, which was the exact opposite of what I was doing, because if I didn't care about her, I never would have said anything. I just would have watched her life go down the toilet, but I did care about her. And then she was gossiping about me and was talking to other friends and telling them that I didn't care about her and that I was, you know, criticizing her. Well, this is extremely painful for me and embarrassing, and I felt like I really needed to defend myself, and it just was very unfair. And so I had tried to talk to Chuck about it, and he understood in a way, but he also didn't understand why I was so upset, because I think he really just saw it as black and white, like obviously this person was wrong and that I shouldn't let it bother me kind of thing. So
I wasn't much help.
No, you were fine. No, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with someone not seeing your perspective. And it was very wise that I was getting way more upset. When someone gossips about you, there's, you know, you can't let it get to you. It was really upsetting me though. And I couldn't really talk about her too. Our friends, because obviously that's what was making her so, you know, angry. And so I felt very trapped, but I went to God and I told him, and I said, Lord Jesus, this person is actually accusing me of bad intentions and of being like wicked and manipulative and mean. And I thought, and I feel so confused and hurt and very betrayed and twisted. Like my words have been twisted. I said, I'm so misunderstood. And I think that's what was making me crazy, is that I had had such good intentions and I was actually being very courageous telling her, you know, my heart for her. And so I just laid it out there. So I figured out how I felt. And then so that's step one. Step two, I expressed it to Jesus. And step three is I asked him, I said, Lord, when have you felt this way? When have you had good intentions and somebody twisted your words and made you feel betrayed and you were slandered? Now, I had not thought about any Bible verses or anything like that. I just was laying this out to Jesus. And immediately after I asked that question, a phrase popped into my head, and it was a quote, and it was, it is by the prince of demons that he casts out demons. And I hadn't thought about that quote for a long time, hadn't been meditating on it or anything, but I knew exactly where it was from because I'd read it before. And it was that the Pharisees, some of those who hated Jesus, when he was casting demons out of someone, they accused him actually of being in league with the devil, which is, of course, the most absurd thing you can imagine. And you know, they must have just been trying to think of some way that they could condemn him because they were planning on killing him later. And I just heard that in my head, I heard that quote. It is from the prince of demons that he cast out demons. And I want to tell you, like, so many things happen all at once. And number one, I was extremely comforted to know that I'm not the only person who's ever had this happen, that it happened to Jesus, that he was preaching eternal life and he was loving people and healing them and casting demons out of them. And he was accused of the same thing that I had been accused of, just on a much grander scale. So that happened. So I was comforted that I wasn't alone. At this, the second thing that happened is I was deeply moved that Jesus would respond to me, that I had asked him a question and then he had answered me in such an amazing, meaningful, and deep way, something that I couldn't have come up with myself. And the third thing is that I began to cry for Christ's sake. I felt like the two of us were weeping together, that such evil exists in the world, that we both had experienced something. And I actually felt like I had a little bond with Jesus, the same way that we describe when you comfort someone else, that a connection happens and that friendships are built on that. I felt like a little connection happened between me and Jesus, and I felt connected to him, and it was really special. And so I moved without even thinking too hard about it. I moved to step four, which was thanking Jesus for his compassion and comfort. And I just thanked him after I cried with him for a little while. And then step five, it was so much easier to forgive my friend. I just poured it out as easily, was saying, Lord, I forgive her. I forgive her, because I thought, Jesus, you forgave so much worse. And then you went to the cross for those people. And, you know, I certainly can forgive her for my friend for her sins against me. So that's just an example of how this experiencing comfort from God, this little technique, can be really powerful.
That's beautiful. I just love that story and stories like it where we connect in that personal way with God. And like you said, that when we receive comfort from God like that, there's an opportunity there to make that bond with mm-hmm. God, just like we make with another person. And that's what this is really all about, not being alone. God did not make us to be alone. So we're recording this podcast on Divine Mercy Sunday, so it's appropriate that we're talking about one of God's many mercies that he pours out on us, which is to love us and relate to us and offer his comfort to us. So a good scripture to close with is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction.
The content of this podcast is a mix of our original content and content owned by Intimate Life Ministries, which was created by Dr. David Ferguson and Dr. Bruce Walker. You can find out more about intimate life and intimacy theory at relationalcare.org.